The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 86. My Reverend and Dear Brother, Philadelphia, November 10, 1739. Ever since I was favored with your last, most endearing letter, you have been upon my heart more and more. As I wish all the Lord's servants were prophets, so it gives me uncommon pleasure when the Lord raises up one of our own church. Believe me, dear sir, when I look upon her desolations, I can scarce forbear weeping over her. But blessed be God, who has been pleased to visit her in this our day. Henceforward, I trust, she will be a joyful mother of spiritual children. Many of late, under God, have been begotten by some of her sons through the gospel, amongst whom I may reckon. He has been, I believe, and trust, will still be the ghostly father of many souls. May he increase with all the increase of God, and appear before his Redeemer at the last day, saying, Behold me, my O Lord, and the children which thou hast given me. O dear sir, words cannot express how affectionately I desire to esteem and love you. None but the all-seeing God knows how earnestly I pray and desire to labor for the prosperity of Jerusalem. Had we 1,000 hands and tongues, there is employment enough for them all. People are everywhere ready to perish for lack of knowledge. For the Lord has been pleased to reveal his dear Son in us. Oh, let us stir up that gift of God, and with all boldness preach him to others. Freely we have received, freely let us give. What Christ tells us by his Spirit and our closets, that let us proclaim on the housetop. He who sends will protect us. All the devils in hell shall not hurt us till we have finished our testimony. And then, if we should seal it with imprisonment or death, well with it be with us, and happy shall we be evermore. But the proof of our sincerity will be when we come to the trial. I fear for no one so much as myself. Dear sir, pray that you may never have any reason to be ashamed of the most unprofitable of the Lord's servants, G.W. End of Letter 86. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter Number 87. Dear Mister, Philadelphia, November 10th, 1739. I hope, dear brother, hath satisfied you about the queries in your last. I trust you are not angry with me for being so long silent. Excessive business was the cause. I write you this, my dear brother, to assure you I have not forgotten you. No, you are upon my heart. I pray for your prosperity both in body and soul, and hope ere we die to take another tour with you round Wales. God has dealt most lovingly with us on shipboard. We had very fair weather most part of our way. Both the good and bad spirit have been with us in the ship, the one to tempt and terrify, the other to support and comfort. I need not tell you which has prevailed. Who shall stand before the Spirit of Jesus Christ? I have had great intimidations from above concerning Georgia. Who knows but we may have a college of pious youths at Savannah. I do not despair thereof. Professor Frank's undertaking in Germany has been much pressed upon my heart. I really believe that my present undertaking will succeed. My dear brother, call down a blessing by your prayers. The Lord will hear those who put their trust in his mercy through Christ. You see, you know, how many would rejoice at and do wait for my halting. Beseech the Lord that they may be disappointed of their hope and entreat the people of Wales to join with you. I love them most tenderly. I hope at my return to see them grown in grace. I pray God so to improve my retirement that my progress may be made known unto them all. Salute them most affectionately in my name and exhort them to continue instant in prayer and thanksgivings for, dear and honored sir, your fellow pilgrim and laborer, and our dear Lord Jesus, G.W. End of letter number 87. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter Number 88. My dear brother in Christ, Philadelphia, November 10, 1739. As there has been joy in heaven at your conversion, so I can assure you there has been on earth. I and my friends have not failed to give thanks that you, our brother, was dead, but is alive again, was lost, but is found. O blessed be God for calling you at the 11th hour. Doth not this display the riches of his free grace, and ought it not to fill you with his praise all the day long? I wonder not that you are already become a fool for Christ's sake. All that will live godly in him must suffer persecution. But fear not, man. The Lord of hosts shall be with you. The strength of that God who hath called you shall be your refuge. As you have not long to live in this world, Satan, no doubt, will rage most horribly against you. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Your case, God willing, I intend to publish in my next journal. It is good to keep close the secrets of a king, but it is honorable to speak of the works of the Lord. That God may carry you on and finish the good work begun in your soul is the hearty prayer of your affectionate friend and brother in Christ, G.W. End of letter 88. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1. Letter number 89. Dear Miss B., Philadelphia, November 10th, 1739. Though, when I came first to London, I thought you had not much the progress which might be expected in the 12 months, for want of company, yet your last behavior gave me reason to think that you was yet alive to God. Oh, dear Miss B., do not slumber or sleep, but be always trimming your spiritual lamp, knowing you are surely to meet the bridegroom. Study to show the simplicity of Jesus Christ, and strive to imitate those holy matrons who not only administered to our Lord of their substance, but also followed him to the accursed tree. Love, love to Jesus, cast out fear. No doubt they were reproached for his name's sake, and accounted mad women, but they had a faith which enabled them at that time to overcome the world, and by which they climbed up to heaven. May dear Miss B. be thus minded, and may I see her at the last day amongst the wise virgins, cultivating an acquaintance with Miss D. and Miss C. will be a step towards bringing you thither. Dear Miss B., I am your friend and servant, G.W. End of letter 89. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter Number 90. To my brother, Philadelphia, November 10th, 1739. Though I have wrote now for some years to my dear brother, and have availed nothing, yet I cannot cease striving with him. Who knows but at length the Almighty may remove the scales from his eyes and enable him to see the want of a Redeemer. Indeed, my dear brother, you do not see it yet because you do not feel it. Your moral honesty and good nature deceives you. You think you are rich and increased in goods, and you do not consider that you are poor and miserable, blind and naked. You are self-righteous and do not rely on the righteousness of the God-man, Christ Jesus, for salvation. What would I give, was my dear brother convinced of this? For, till he is convinced, he is miserable and does not know it. I pray God to open your eyes with a sense of his love. Send me a line to Georgia. God has sent us a comfortable passage. In about a 12-month, I expect to return. Be not surprised if you hear of my being more cast out. We must suffer, as well as do, for Christ. If you are one of his, you will rejoice. Your affectionate brother, G.W. End of letter number 90. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter Number 91. To Madam M., Philadelphia, November 10th, 1739. I cannot think of the repeated assistance you gave me by the loan of your coach, and at the same time forbear sending you a line of thanks. But what is of greater concern, I think, it's my duty to write to you about a more important affair, I mean the salvation of your precious and immortal soul. God was pleased to incline your heart, madam, to hear and receive the word with joy. Neither the cares of the world nor the deceitfulness of riches, I trust, have been permitted to choke and hinder the growth of it in your soul. Indeed, madam, you cannot be too watchful. It is a blessed and careful thing to be a true Christian. The first step to it is a broken heart, a heart melted down with a sense of sin, and flying to Jesus Christ for righteousness, sanctification, and eternal redemption. Thousands indeed place Christianity in good desires, and the having good desires, but this and much more a person may have, and yet miscarry at last. Pure and undefiled religion consists in a lively faith in Jesus Christ, as the only mediator between God and man. A faith that changes and renews the whole soul, takes it entirely off the world, and fixes it wholly upon God. This, madam, is the faith that you have so often heard me preach, and of which I pray God you may be a partaker. Though you have it not yet, you need not despair. God will give it to all who sincerely ask of him. It is true, madam, that not many mighty are called, but it is not your riches shall keep you from heaven if you truly believe on the Lord Jesus. Faith in him will enable you to overcome the world and cause you even to triumph over the lust of the eye and the pride of life. Faith will set you above the fear of man and enable you to rejoice in being accounted a fool for Christ's sake, that God may impart his faith to your own and little master's soul is the hearty prayer of, madam, your obliged humble servant, G.W. End of letter number 91. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter Number 92. Dear Brother H., Philadelphia, November 10th, 1739. I congratulate you on your success at Monmouth, M-O-N-M-O-U-T-H. God has yet further work for you to do, ere you are called before rulers and governors for his name's sake. By divine permission, in about a 12-month, I hope to make a second use of your field pupils. Our principles agree, as face answers to face in the water. Since I saw you, God has been pleased to enliven me more in that comfortable doctrine of election, etc. At my return, I hope to be more explicit than I have been. God forbid, my dear brother, that we should shun to declare the whole counsel of God. The people of Wales are much upon my heart. I long to hear how the gospel flourishes among you, how prospers your inward man, being always doing, no doubt you will grow in grace. May you increase with all the increase of God. You will see my letters to Mr. Jones, etc. As fast as I can, the rest of our Welsh friends shall hear from me, that I may never forget their works of faith and labors of love. Salute them most affectionately in my name, and exhort them, my dear brother, to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. Put them in the mind of the freshness and eternity of God's electing love, and be instant with them to lay hold on the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith. Talk to them, oh talk to them, even till midnight, of the riches of his all-sufficient grace. Tell them, oh tell them, what he has done for their souls, and how earnestly he is now interceding for them in heaven. Show them, in the map of the Word, the kingdoms of the upper world, and the transcendent glories of them. Assure them all shall be theirs if they believe in Jesus Christ with their whole hearts. Press them to believe on him immediately. Intersperse prayers with your exhortations, and thereby call down fire from heaven, even the fire of the Holy Ghost, to soften, sweeten, and refine, and melt them into love. Speak every time, my dear brother, as if it was your last. Weep out, if possible, every argument, and as it were compelled them to cry, behold, how he loveth us. Remember me in your prayers, as being ever, ever yours, etc. G.W. End of letter number 92. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter Number 93. To Mr. and Mrs. D., my dear friends, Philadelphia, November 10th, 1739. When I consider how constantly you attended my ministry, how gladly you received me into your house, and how affectionately you took my last farewell, methinks gratitude obliges me to send you a line. It hath often given me pleasure to see in what harmony you seemed to live, and how you walked, to hear the word of God as friends. Surely, thought I, these are a happy pair. These, I trust, are helpmeets for each other. Oh, that you may go on and prosper and be plentifully rewarded for the favor shown to me, the most unprofitable of our Lord's servants. He will not forget your works of faith and labors of love. Whenever you attend his word preached, I hope he will send you replenished away. Oh, that all knew what it is to believe in Jesus. How soon would they renounce the world, take up the cross, and follow him. Lord, evermore give us all this faith, even a faith working by love, a faith that will enable us to overcome the world and cause us to shake off all fear of man. Pray give my due respects to your friend and his wife, who used to dine with us. I pray God sanctify you all in spirit, soul, and body, and cause you to sit down on his right hand with Your affectionate, though most unworthy, friend and servant in Christ, G.W. End of letter number 93. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter Number 94. To the Reverend Mr. P. Reverend Sir, Philadelphia, November 10th, 1739. You may justly censure me as unkind for not answering your kind letter. I can only plead by way of excuse and hurry of business and my sudden departure from England. At my return, God willing, I purpose to see Newbury and there to preach the gospel of the Prince of Peace. Perhaps my enemies may have so much power given them from above as to confine my body. But if I am bound, the word of the Lord will not be bound. God will speak, and great shall be the company of preachers. It often rejoices me to think what a prospect we have once again of hearing the truth preached as it is in Jesus. I hope we shall catch fire from each other, and that there will be an holy emulation amongst us, who shall most debase man and exalt the Lord Jesus. Nothing but the doctrines of the Reformation can do this. All others leave free will in man and make him, in part at least, a savior to himself. My soul, come not near the secret of those who teach such things. My honor be not thou united to them. I know Christ is all in all. Man is nothing. He hath a free will to go to hell, but none to go to heaven, till God worketh in him to will and to do after his good pleasure. It is God must prevent. God must accompany. God must follow with his grace, or Jesus Christ will bleed in vain. That God may continue his blessing to us both, is the hearty prayer of, Reverend and dear sir, your obliged brother and servant, G.W. End of letter 94. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter Number 95, Philadelphia, November 10th, 1739. Dear Mister, was not my heart with your heart when we rode by the way and talked to each other concerning the Scriptures? I thought our souls tallied together, and that we had both drunk from the same Spirit. I have often since that time admired the grace of God in you, and even now feel my soul, whilst I am writing, immediately united with yours. What is all this but the effect and fruit of God's everlasting love through Christ our Lord? What is it but an instance of sovereign will and good pleasure of God? Who will have mercy on whom he will have mercy? Oh, how does the free, the distinguishing grace of God excite the love of those who are made partakers of it? What was there in you and in me, dear Mr. O, that should move God to choose us before others? Was there any fitness foreseen in us except a fitness for damnation? I believe not. No, God chose us from eternity. He called us in time, and I am persuaded will keep us from falling finally, till time shall be no more. Consider the gospel in this view, and it appears a consistent scheme, though directly contrary to the natural man, and nothing convinces me more of the truth of those doctrines than the enmity that is in the heart of carnal minds against them. However, the power of God is able to pull down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Henceforth, I hope I shall speak boldly and plainly as I ought to speak, and not fail to declare the whole counsel of God. I pray daily that I may know his will more perfectly, not only that I may do it myself, but that I may teach it to others. If I die for it, I cannot but speak the things which I know. Oh, my dear friends, lift up your hands for me in the sanctuary. The prayers of the faithful God will hear. Entreat the same favor of your brother. I love you both in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And remember you often when I go in and out before the Lord. He has been with us in the ship. His rod has corrected. His staff has comforted us. Both his rod and staff have edified and strengthened our souls. In a year's time, I hope to see England. My love to all friends, and beseech them to pray that I may be prepared for whatever awaits. Your affectionate brother and servant in Jesus Christ Jesus, G.W. End of letter number 95. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 96. To Mrs. Anne D., Philadelphia, November 10th, 1739. My dear sister in Christ, I owe you several letters. I will pay you one now. Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. If anyone ought to long to enjoy the communion of saints hereafter, I ought in a particular manner. God has highly favored me in the acquaintance of numbers of his dearest children. I cannot see some, and to but few of them can I write, on account of other business. Hasten, O Lord, that blessed time when we shall all sit down to eat bread in thy kingdom. My dear sister, pray that I may patiently wait till my change shall come. I want to leap my 70 years. I long to be dissolved to be with Christ. Sometimes it arises from a fear of falling, knowing what a body of sin I carry about me. Sometimes what a prosper of future labors and sufferings. I am out of humor and wish for death as Elijah did. At others I am tempted, and then I long to be freed from temptation. But it is not thus always. There are times when my soul hath such foretaste of God that I long more eagerly to be with him, and the frequent prospect of the happiness which the spirits of just men, made perfect now in joy, often carries me, as it were, into another world. Many such sweet meditations hath my soul been favored with, but in the midst of all I have felt and do feel that I am the chief of sinners, a mystery of iniquity that lay in my heart undiscovered, has been open to my view since my retirement in the ship. May he enlighten me more and more to know and feel the mystery of his electing, soul-transforming love. Nothing like that to support us under present and all the various future trials which await us. But the Lord has apprehended us and will not let us go. Men and devils may do their worst. Our Jesus will suffer nothing to pluck us out of his almighty hands. For he has loved us with an everlasting love, and therefore his right hand shall uphold us. By his assistance we shall hold out to the end. By his grace, I, you, and all his chosen ones shall finally be saved. Then, my dear sister, shall we converse, not with ink and paper, but face to face. Then, but not till then, shall we fully know what a legion of devils Jesus Christ has cast out of our souls, and how, after all our strivings against and quenching many of the motions of his Spirit, he at last brought us up to glory. Cease not to pray for your unworthy brother in Christ, G.W. End of letter number 96. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter Number 97. Philadelphia, November 10th, 1739. To the Reverend Mr. R., My dear brother R., before I left England, I heard of your progress in Lanchester and Nottingham. I have then rejoiced, yea, and I do now rejoice that God has sent you forth into his vineyard. I wish you all imaginable success with my whole heart. The next news I hear from England, I suppose, will inform me of your suffering as well as preaching for Christ. But I am persuaded a prospect of suffering does not damp but excite the zeal of my dear fellow laborer. He lives in a place where honest John Bunyan was a prisoner of the Lord for 12 years. And oh, what sweet communion did he enjoy in Bedford Gallow. I really believe a minister will learn more by 1 month's confinement than by a year's study. Press on them, my dear brother, press on and faint not. Speak till you can speak no more. Wait upon the Lord, and you shall renew your strength. Though sometimes faint, yet still pursue. Up and be doing, and the Lord be with you. See how the fields are white, everywhere ready to harvest. See how our Lord's sheep are scattered about, having too few true shepherds. I beseech you, go on and point out to them the Redeemer's good pastures. Say not, wherewithal shall I feed them? The great shepherd shall furnish you with food enough and to spare. Give of your loaves, and you shall take up of the fragments that remain. To him that hath shall be given. Satan no doubt will resist you. He will bind you out of a false humility to hold your peace. But let your friend speak out boldly as he ought to speak. The Holy Spirit will give him utterance and apply the word to the hearers. If prayers may water the good seed, you may depend on mine. I remember the dear Bedford people. Oh, let them not forget. Your poor weak brother in Christ, G.W. End of letter number 97. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter number 98. Philadelphia, November 10th, 1739. To the Reverend Mr. T. Reverend and dear sir, before I saw you, I loved you. Ever since our personal acquaintance here, I have often thought what a noble instrument you might be of turning many to righteousness if your heart was entirely freed from the world and inflamed with the love of God. Your vivacity of spirit, your warm imagination, the energy and strength of your endearing manner of writing, together with your loving, tender disposition, if once duly influenced by the Spirit of God, cannot fail of winning souls to Christ. Come out, therefore, my brother, my friend, come out from among your carnal connections, and be thou separated, saith the Lord Almighty. Throw off a false politeness, study the simplicity of Jesus Christ, and be despised for something. Oh, pity, pity the Church of England. See how too many of her sons are fallen from her articles, and preach themselves, not Jesus Christ, the Lord. My dear friend, I could wish my head was waters, and my eyes fountains of tears, that I might weep day and night before the Lord. Oh, let us beseech him to spirit up more of his faithful servants, to go out into the highways and hedges, and compel poor sinners to come in. Oh, that dear Mr. T. may be one of them. How would the Spirit of Christ and of glory rest upon a soul? Arise, arise, my dear brethren, and gird up the loins of your mind. Arise, arise, and be now the number of those who only fleece their flocks. Lift up your voice like a trumpet, and preach the truth as it is in Jesus. Dear Mr. T., forgive this freedom. My heart is full. I long to have the pure Scriptures' truths, as delivered in our homilies and our articles, preached up universally. This is all that is contended for by your most unworthy friend, brother and servant, and our dear Lord Jesus, G.W. End of letter number 98. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, volume number 1, letter number 99. To Philadelphia, November 10th, 1739. To the Reverend Mr. D.W., Reverend and dear sir, I love you, though I have been so ungrateful as not to write you. I love you in the bowels of our common master, whose name we bear, and whose gracious service we are both employed. Oh, dear sir, what are we that we should be so highly favored? Why are we honored? Why are we called to the ministry, and others that are effectually called by grace, yet advance no higher than private Christians? I can only cry out, oh, the depth of God's sovereign, electing, unmerited love. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. Surely, dear sir, the love of Christ must constrain us to spend and be spent for the good of souls. Never was the harvest greater, never what were the laborers fewer. If we do not now lift up our voices like trumpets, the very stones would cry out against us. I could almost say, the glory is departed from Israel. The ark of the Lord is risen into the enemy's hands. Oh, let us endeavor, dear sir, let us endeavor to bring it back by preaching and living the truth as it is in Jesus. The light that has been given us is not to be put under a bushel, but on the candlestick. Satan, indeed, by a blast of persecution, will do all he can to put it out. If our light be the light of Christ, those blasts will only cause it to shine the brighter. You have happily, dear sir, experienced this. You, I believe, was both in Christ and in the ministry before me. The devil and all his hosts will set this battle in array against us. My Lord hath given me a sling and a stone, stripling as I am, and I go forth then in his strength, make mention of his righteousness only, and by that lay prostrate the strong Goliath. By your prayers I trust to be sent to Wales once more. The simplicity of that people much delights me. What can I do for them? My prayers they have, and whatever God shall enable me to do, they may demand a snare from, dear sir, your affectionate friend, brother and servant, G.W. End of letter number 99 from volume 1, having been read by Peter John Parisis. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, volume 1. Letter 100. Philadelphia, November the 10th, 1739. To the Reverend Mr. H. Dear Mr. H., I received no answer to my last. Yes, I must write you again. The many happy hours I spent with you when at Oxham, and the benefit I received from your instructions and example, are yet fresh upon my memory. I long to have my dear friend come forth and preach the truth as it is in Jesus. Not a righteousness or inward holiness of our own, whereby we make ourselves meet, but a righteousness of another, even the Lord of our righteousness, upon the imputation and apprehending of which by faith We shall be made meet by His Holy Spirit to live with and to enjoy God. Dear Mr. H., it is an excellent thing to be convinced of the freeness and riches of God's grace in Christ Jesus. It is sweet to know and preach that Christ justifies the ungodly, and that all truly good works are not so much as partly the cause, but the elect of our justification before God. Till convinced of these truths, we must own free will in man, which is directly contrary to the Holy Scriptures and the articles of our church. Let me advise, dear Mr. H., laying aside all prejudice, to read and pray over St. Paul's epistles to the Romans and Galatians, and then let him tell me what he thinks of this doctrine. Most of your old friends are now happily enlightened. God sets his seal to such preaching in an extraordinary manner, and I am persuaded the gates of hell shall never be able to prevail against it. Oh, that dear Mr. H. would also join with us. Oh, that the Lord would open his eyes to behold aright this part of the mystery of godliness. How would it rejoice my heart? How would it comfort my own soul? He would then no longer groan under the spirit of bondage. No, he would be brought into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. I have wrote to dear Mr. O. as well as you, out of the simplicity of my heart. Ever yours in Christ, G.W. End of letter 100.